the Sunday morning quarterback here. Gary Pasquis joined by Daryl Rideau. And boy, Daryl, this is one to talk about here. USC beating Stanford yesterday 13-10 in one of the more dramatic games you're going to find. A strange game, but a game when you talk about learning what you can about a football team, to go up there and to stay poised under fire. A game that maybe if you're a Stanford person, you felt like your team gave away. I think you can make that argument. But that doesn't change the fact that SC did what they had to do to make the plays when it mattered to win the football game. Give your thoughts on what happened yesterday at Stanford Stadium.
Well, you know, leading up to this game, Gary, just around Southern California, around the LA area, I've been talking to a lot of USC fans. Some are novel fans. Some are true alumni fans. And the emotion that I got, the response, the reaction that I was getting leading up to that game is, boy, I just hope that this SC team can go up there and give a good showing. It was like there wasn't a lot of confidence that this team would be perhaps physical enough to go into the farm and put on a good showing, but then also, you know, play with that Trojan pride. So to see how this game unfolded and how adversity faced them right from the get-go and how they responded to it. It gave me chills. It gave me a sense of confidence that this team is building an identity, Gary, that maybe we need to kind of reevaluate our thoughts on what this team is going to turn out or how this season is going to turn out.
Well, I want to talk right off the bat about a key stretch in the game at the end of the third quarter when crazy turn of events. SC makes a field goal. Sark gets a penalty. Hayes Pillard gets kicked out of the game. Pat Hayden comes down to the sideline. What happened all in right there kind of seemed to energize USC. Kind of a key turning point moment in the game.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that because I thought that moment, that time in the third quarter with like 90 seconds left, that whole turn of events kind of galvanized this team and the fan base that had made the trip up to Northern California. And there's been a lot of talk, a lot of clamor about, does Pat Hayden have the support of the coaching staff, or does he have this program's back? And the fact that he left the press box, came down onto the field to defend or to at least get clarity, gave me the sense that he certainly has Sark's back and he has his team's back. But just the way that the turn of events occurred, Gary, it was really bizarre. I still question whether or not that Hayes Pillard's actions on the sideline, the tackle, did it warrant a personal foul? Yes, I would give you that. Maybe a 15-yard personal foul or a penalty. But to be ejected from the game, I just thought that the timing of that, sometimes you got to let players play.
Yeah.
But the reaction, the response that, you know, a play or two before then, Gary, with Sark being penalized on the sideline, I just thought that whole series of events was a defining moment. That was a moment where the wheels could have gone off the track. It didn't. This team remained poised. They stayed with it, and they were able to overcome that. When did they overcome it? It was the next play. When Stanford gets the ball, what happens? They fumble. So that was an opportunity right there where you said the leadership on this team is in the right place, which is a far cry from being at the Vegas Bowl a couple of years – or the Texas El Paso game a couple of years ago where there was so much turmoil on this football team. So – I love the response that we got, love the reaction, and I couldn't be more proud of how they reacted and responded during that crisis.
Okay, we're going to start off on defense. What did you like about what Justin Wilcox did?
You know, I know that there may be a lot of questions about was Justin Wilcox the right guy, especially like there's still some fans of Clancy Pendergast. But I'm here to tell you, Wilcox is the right person, the right defensive coordinator for this team. I love the way that he dictated to Stanford. He said, I'm going to take away what you really want to do. The heart and soul of Stanford's team is to line up with two tight ends and 12 personnel and to pound the ball. So what does he do? He crowds the line of scrimmage, forces them out of their element, forces them into obvious passing situations. By keeping his safeties far deep, he forced the ball to be thrown in the interior part. You notice that Stanford throughout the whole game didn't really challenge the outside corners. And when they did challenge them, the corners competed at the point of attack. They went after the ball. They didn't go for the receivers. And because of that, that tells me that this coaching staff has done a great job of coaching up these players. And to me, you got to give a lot of credit to the front seven, dominating at the point of attack. Say what you want, but Gary, this is the right team.
Okay, but Trojan fans will look at it today and say, we got no pressure on Hogan. We only got one sack at the end of the game, got that big sack, which was huge.
Yes.
What is your answer to that?
Well, my answer to that is some games dictate for you to get pressure when you back a quarterback up and it's obvious passing situations. But others, you just want to neutralize the line of scrimmage, force a team to methodically beat you down the field. And what USC did so brilliant was they didn't press. They didn't blitz and create pockets of passing lanes that would give Stanford easy, you know, layups. Instead, they forced them to beat them down the field. And what happened when Stanford, when the Cardinal was forced to have to go down the field inside the red zone, we saw mistake after mistake after mistake. We saw an offense of Stanford self-destructing, Gary.
Which doesn't happen very often. Uncharacteristic. 1 of 5 in the red zone for Stanford in terms of scoring opportunities. Every Stanford drive, 9 times, they got inside the USC 30 and only came away with 10 points. That's really staggering. I want to talk one guy on the defensive line. You can't go away without talking about Leonard Williams' performance and what he did in this game.
I mean, going into the game, there was talk that maybe he might not even play. I believe on Tuesday, earlier in the week, he sprained his ankle, or at least there was discussions of him spraining his ankle. He hobbled in pregame warm-up, but when the lights shined on and the team needed him most, he commanded a double team virtually every play, still raised havoc around the line of scrimmage, and I really think that this team, this defense, galvanized around his performance. And right now, say what you wish, I mean, with so much talk about him being a potential top 5 pick, maybe even the first pick of next year's draft, none of that matters. This is a kid who really wants to play, and this is a kid who's playing with purpose. And the team seems to be responding around that type of performance. And every bit of it was needed in this game.
Oh, isn't that the truth? He ended up tying for the team lead in tackles with 11. 8 solo tackles on a bum ankle. That's going to be one of those performances that you look back on with great memories for Leonard Williams on that one. Let's flip it over to offense. One of the things you're hearing on the message board today is criticisms of Sark's play calling. Mm-hmm. The offense was not as varied, certainly, as we saw against Fresno State. The ball did not get spread around as much. But when you and I were talking before this, you said there's good reasons for that.
And there is. Sometimes you can go into a game plan and you can impose your will on a team. And against Fresno State, that merits. You can do that. You can run 105 plays. But when you're going up against a well-coached team like Stanford, they're going to play a lot of quarters, which basically means they're going to keep 2 safeties high, and their corners are going to be very aggressive. There aren't many opportunities for that. So the fact that Sark humbled himself and committed to the running game and really just tried to pound the ball with Buck Allen, I thought said a lot about the identity that this team is forming. This is a physical, up-tempo team. They're going to beat you many different ways, but this was a game that calls for them on the road to commit to a running game. But you know what it did? It might have even thrown off Cody Kessler's timing and his rhythm, because when you're not throwing for 65 plays in the first half like you did previous week, Gary, now all of a sudden you don't have those same passing lanes. You don't have that same rhythm. So what do? You default to who you know best, Nelson Aguilar.
But talk about the fact is in getting with the run game, the wide splits on the offensive line. How does that benefit Buck Allen and what they're trying to do?
That's interesting you would mention that, and I'm glad you did, because that was a wrinkle that Stanford had not prepared for. Showing in this game those wide splits, what that does for the offensive line is it gives them angles to come downhill on the 3 technique or the interior offensive or defensive lineman. And those lanes allow for a running back like Buck Allen to really kind of sit back there and find a lane, find a rhythm, and be slow and deliberate and find a hole. So in this game, it felt like USC's offense went to more of a zone blocking scheme, which really I think that favors someone like Buck Allen. Mm-hmm. Because it gives him the vision now to figure out what hole he wants to attack. So it's one of those check with me's. It gives that the option to the running back.
And we talked about it beforehand. This was a perfect example. Some people think of the up-tempo offense and what everyone's doing as a finesse offense. Sark has been clear about saying, no, we're going to be a physical run-first offense. And he even said in the post-game press conference, I may have been stubborn about it in this game, but he stuck with it, and it paid off in the end. We talked about another key series, and that was when SC made the goal line stand, which was fantastic.
Yes.
But then the way that the offense responded, a quick pass to George Farmer to break a tackle for 15 yards, a critical play.
A very critical play.
And then it was Little Nelson, then it was George again, and then it was Buck Allen breaking for 50. Stay with the run, and eventually Buck's going to break one.
And eventually Buck's going to break one. But that just shows, again, keep in mind that Sark Sark has only been around this team since December. Mm-hmm. So he's still learning the attitude, the character, the personality, but just to see how they continue to respond. But I thought that that drive was so critical because it showed you that this team, although they're built around the skill players this year, make no mistake about it, this is still a physical team, and Sark wants to make sure that that point is emphasized, because when you go on the road and you are going to have to play against other teams like Stanford, like for example, later in the season you'll go up against a Notre Dame team that wants to try to commit to the running game like that as well. But offensively, to really throw a couple of jabs and then deliver that uppercut with Buck Allen was really the play that led to Sark's most critical decision on fourth down. Do you punt the ball, put the ball back in the hand of the Cardinal, and give them an opportunity to run out the clock? Or do you trust Hadari, who up until that point has been somewhat inconsistent or at least questioned? But you were telling me something that at the end of every game, how does USC end practice?
Well, one of the last drills before the final team drill is they do special teams, and they march Andre into increments, and his final kick is a 52-yarder.
And where was this kick at?
That was 53, and 53. It was the one thing. I'll be honest, we talked. I would have given a lot of thought to punting right there.
Yeah.
But I did have the thought as they're lining it up. You put Andre in this situation every day.
Yes.
And you do it for a reason. But let's talk about how that moment, and we'll end it on this, how that moment can kind of build with the team. When you talk about going up there and taking a game,
yes,
not backing into a game. Stanford definitely had their moments,
yes.
But when SC had their moments, they took it. And so, what does that do for a team when you have them? When your coach believes in you and you execute and you take a big game like that, what can that do to a team?
But just that element alone, the series of events, Pat Hayden coming down from the sideline, showing the support of Sark. Sark showing the support of his offense, leaving the ball in their hand on the road when most coaches will go very conservative and say, my defense has been playing very well up until that point. You go on the road and you seize a moment like that, that's a rallying cry. When later in the season, when the injuries start to pile up and you really want to reflect back on a moment, this might have been that moment. For us, Gary, it might have been when I played 11 years ago when I played, it was a moment when we were on the road at the University of Arizona. Chris Richard intercepts a pass, turns our season around, because up until that point, we have been winning game or we have been losing leads. But that was an opportunity to take a game back. This team, that situation, when everything seemed like the momentum was shifting back to Stanford, they stole that opportunity. Stanford blew a lot of moments, but even when you blow opportunities like Stanford did, you still got to seize the moment and capitalize. And I thought that USC showed poise, showed a lot of character, and they took this game. They marched down the field, and they stole a victory at the hands of defeat.
And it's going to be very interesting to see where that takes this team, because that was an emotional moment, a big-time win on the road against Stanford. You just can't say enough in those kind of circumstances. For Daryl Rideau, this is Gary Paskowitz. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Cornerback.